So, how many of you had someone in your family live past 98? Oh, okay. Well, that's good. That's pretty good. You got a pretty good shot. But is it all genetics? That's the question. So we're going to find out about that, because I think that for many, many years, people have been looking for the fountain of youth. Now, the fountain of youth was supposedly a physical location, and Ponce de Leon, explorer, he tried to find the fountain of youth, but of course, the search has not ended with Ponce de Leon. We still, in this modern age, are looking for something that can make us stronger, faster, more energy, young looking. To get rid of the wrinkles, get rid of the gray, right? But not just to cover it over, we actually want something that can reverse the sands of time. Does that exist? Is it possible? Or are we stuck with just changing the outside? And I want you to know that I don't believe that it is coincidence that people spend tens of thousands of dollars on plastic surgery. Is it that they're all vain or superficial? I don't know if that's entirely true. If you think about it, you may say, well, you know, those people, how could they spend all that money and put themselves at risk for surgery? But, you know, how about a little Botox? Right? People want to try to get rid of that wrinkle somehow. And if you think maybe that's too vain, do you dye your hair? Right? So I think that there is something that drives all of us to look younger. Could it be that maybe this is not what was meant to be? And maybe you're a guy and say, well, I don't care about all that stuff. You know, I don't care about dyeing my hair or whatever. Well, I mean, how about, what do you think makeup's for? Right? Isn't that to smooth off the rough edges? Right? I believe that everybody, even guys, have some sense that this is not plan A for planet Earth. Anyone ever take a group picture? Watch the guys in the back row and watch them go like this. Have you ever seen that? Do you know why they do that? No, that's not why. Because they want to appear, what? Taller, right? But why do they want to appear taller? Have you thought about that? Oh. Maybe they're shrinking. Only problem is guys my age do it too. Right? Could it be that maybe we weren't meant to fade away? Could it be that we were meant to be much taller than we are right now? Could it be that the gray was not the original design? Well, is there a way to maybe get that Tahitian Noni or something, that supplement that's going to give us that advantage? Is it possible that we can find the fountain of youth? Well, people have been looking for many, many decades, many centuries. And unfortunately, we all seem to follow the same progression. And if you think about it too long, it may seem depressing. Now, this is not a hopeless topic, of course, because there is evidence in our very beings that shows us that perhaps we're meant to live longer. This is the brain. And do you know that the human brain has a phenomenal capacity? Did you know that people can live normal lives with just half a brain? Did anyone know that? Dr. Ben Carson perfected the hemispherectomy, where you cut out half a person's brain for seizures. That person can live a normal life. You would never know they had only half a brain. The human brain has a tremendous capacity. But did you know, despite that capacity, most of us only use about 3 to 5% of our brains? In a period of a lifetime, and the average lifespan of America is 79 years, in 80 years, how is it that we're only managing to fill a small fraction of the hard drive, so to speak? People like Albert Einstein and Schweitzer, super geniuses of our race, can fill maybe 7 to 10%. Doesn't that seem strange to you? Could it be that we were not meant to live only 79 years? That sort of hard drive would say that perhaps we were meant to live hundreds, if not maybe 1,000 or more years. Could it be that we were meant to live forever? Well, these three people groups do not live forever, but they live a long time. In fact, they're called blue zones, people that live much longer than the rest of us. What are they doing? And how can we do the same and benefit from their longevity advantage? Okinawa, land of the rising sun, Japan. Okinawans live approximately 3 years longer than the average American. Now, that may not seem like very much to you, but from my scientific standpoint, that is highly significant. Now, there are many reasons why they theorize why the Okinawans live longer. They have a lot less of the number one killer, which is heart disease. We're not presenting heart disease this time, but maybe next year we'll come back. They have a lot less of very common cancers in this church. The Seventh-day Adventist Church, our two common cancers are pretty much colon, breast, and prostate. Did you know that? We have very little lung because why? Anyone know why? People generally don't smoke in the Adventist Church. I mean, I'm sure there are some that do, but I'd say probably, 99% do not. Wouldn't you say that's accurate? So they have a lot less cancer even than this particular church. The Okinawans have a plant-based diet, but is it all diet? Could it be that the key lies in the mind? Could it be that your thoughts, your will, your emotions affect your health? Is that possible? If you doubt that, all you have to do is understand that somebody who loses their temper, ever seen someone lose their temper? Do you know that during that episode of rage, they are 300% more likely to die of a heart attack? Yes. That's a stress on the heart, on your entire being. However, the Okinawans have something very unique to their culture. They have something called ikigai, and it translates to the reason for which you get up in the morning. For Fumiyasu at 84, his ikigai is the decathlon, the Senior Olympics. Anyone 84 or older? Anyone here? Wow. You know what his favorite event is? The pole vault. Any pole vaulters here? Pretty impressive, isn't it? His purpose in life is maintaining his competitive edge. They also grow their own food. Okinawans go to the store for very little, but they eat more and weigh less. How do they do that? They eat a plant-based diet, high in nutrients, low in calories, low in refined fats and sugars. At Serie Toguchi, he's 104 years old. He is enjoying several benefits toward his longevity. He's getting exercise in his garden, sunshine, wonderful vitamin D, fresh air, and a little nap, a little rest. They interviewed him and said, Mr. Toguchi, why the red gloves? And he said, they're easy to find. Not quite a secret. The longevity key to Okinawan society is found within the Moai. And the Moai is a group of individuals that go through life together. Now, these are not necessarily family. They are friends. But they meet together at least 3 times a week. Any one of you meet with a group of friends at least 3 times a week? Anyone? Not really in the American culture, is it? But this has been found and proven to be beneficial to longevity. We are not designed to be independent atoms, even though we all love our freedom in the United States. We are meant to be social creatures. Unfortunately, the longevity edge is fading in Okinawa. And part of that is the downfall of all civilization, the Golden Arches. They have left their traditional roots in their diet and lifestyle and have embraced a Western culture. So now we go to Silanus, Sardinia. Where are we? What country? Italy, that's right. An island off the coast of Italy where we meet Tonino. And you have to say it like this, Tonino, right? Yes. He's a shepherd at 74. He still works from sunup to sundown. Anyone here 74 or older? Only you? 74 November. Do you work a 12-hour day?
No.
Yeah. This guy does. And he still manages to get it all done. Just needs a little help with the cane now. That's all. Just a little help. Splits wood, repairs fences, herds sheep. Sun up to sundown. The Sardinian way is also very social. They have, once a week, a giant meal with all of their immediate and extended family. Anyone do that? Family reunion once a week? Wow, that's pretty good. Once a year, okay. But this is once a week. There you go. But they have it presided by the patriarch, and this patriarch is 103. What's very interesting about the Sardinian way is typically who lives longer, men or women? Women, right? By a long shot. 4 times as many women reach 100 as men. However, in Sardinia, the ratio is 1 to 1. Did you know that? Maybe I should move to Sardinia. Right? Sorry? But see, the women actually, it'd be better and more favorable to be somewhere else. Does that make sense? Because it's 1 to 1. Men reach 100 just as much as them. They have no advantage over men. So who knows why that is? Yeah. Yes, that's right. They should move so their husband would live longer so they wouldn't be a widow. Oh, no, that's right. That's right. That makes sense. You don't want to be alone. You want your man to live as long as you, right? That makes sense. Absolutely. They also have an active outdoor life. Some people have wondered if geography helps. They live on an island, right? They're away from the pollution and the stress and radiation of the city, right? Hopefully he won't eat this. But Giuseppe is the paragon of Sardinian thought. The interviewer asked him and said, "Sir, you're 85, 20 years older than the average retiree in our country. Don't you ever feel tired? You know, don't you ever, you know, stay home? Don't you want to stay home one day?" And his answer was, "If I stayed home all day, then I'd be sick." You know, it's very interesting. We have kind of the opposite thought process, don't we? If you feel tired or kind of under the weather, you stay home. He says if you stay home all day, then you're sick. Very interesting. Active at 85, still making a difference. What's also very interesting is they've wondered if it's the soil, because the grapes in Sardinia have 3 times the antioxidants, the quercetin and resveratrol, as the mainland Italian grapes. So they're wondering if that may give them some benefit to
to their cardiac risk. But the criticism is that they are an isolated island, or what's called a genetic incubator. If you understand what that is, it means that 80% of the current inhabitants of Sardinia can be directly traced back to the original pioneers of that island. So perhaps the original inhabitants just had a really good gene sequence. That's the criticism of Sardinia. Also, another criticism is that there's only 2,400 of them. Can you really make a conclusion about a couple thousand individuals? Also, Sardinia is losing its longevity edge because now obesity affects 10% of Sardinians. Now, that may not seem like a big number to you because in the United States, it's 36% of us that are obese. In fact, the majority of us in the United States now are overweight. Did you know that? Majority meaning greater than 50%. Our society is getting heavier and heavier, and there seems to be no end in sight. Sardinia now has 10% obesity rate. Now, that may seem very small, but when you consider that only a couple decades ago, their rate was zero, or near zero, 1%. Very, very low. But they are succumbing to the Western invasion as well. They have given up many of their traditions in exchange for the fast food life. You may wonder and say, well, I don't live on an island. I don't have Sardinian or Okinawan parents or grandparents. Do I have a chance to live long and to live strong? Bless you. Well, let's look at our third group. Our third group lives in the heart of what is possibly the most densely populated area in the world, Southern California. Their air quality is absolutely the worst that you can find in the United States. Possibly New York is close. But these individuals live a long time, even though they're not in the country, even though they don't have their own gardens. Who are they? Well, this is one of their champions, Marge Chaton. She's 100 years old here. Renewed her driver's license. Hopefully she doesn't eat any of this stuff over here, right? But she's still going strong, even in the middle of the city. How is that possible? Well, here's another example. My colleagues, Frank Shearer, MD, has outlived the average physician by many decades. And in this particular photo, he was, at the time, the oldest water skier on the planet. Because all of us want to live longer, but who wants to live to 100 in a nursing home, right? Don't you want to live to 100 and still be kicking up the spray? I'd say he has a decent quality of life, as well as quantity of life. Who are these individuals? Well, these individuals are people like my professor at Loma Linda University. Ellsworth Wareham was still doing open heart surgery at 91. Would you let somebody split your chest open at 91? Probably not. You'd probably be a little nervous of, you know, a little tremor going on, right? But I assure you, I was in the OR with Dr. Wareham, and his hand was rock steady. In fact, all the surgeons loved to have Dr. Wareham, or Father Wareham, as they call him, in the OR because he was so calm. There was no complication that he had not seen, since he had been a surgeon for longer than all of them had been alive. Open heart surgery at 91. Still going strong. Of course, many of you know these are none other than the Seventh-day Adventists. One of their champions, Lydia Newton, at 112, among the oldest 20 people on the face of the planet. The authors of National Geographic magazine question, is it good genes? Is it divine intervention? And they said, God may or may not have something to do with it, but their religion does. So, let's look at the Seventh-day Adventists. They're not a large religion. The large religions of the world would be Catholicism, right? Almost a billion, right? Anything else? Islam is very large. Anything else? Hinduism, Buddhism, right? Very large religions. Seventh-day Adventists are kind of a smaller religion. They're about the same size as the Jews, the Mormons, right? About 20 million of them. However, 20 million is enough to do scientific studies. And the NIH does the Seventh-day Adventist study every year. They receive millions of dollars in grants to try to figure out what these people are doing to live longer and better. The other interesting thing is that they're not in the country. They're not isolated on islands, and they come from all races. What's very interesting is although African Americans in the United States have a higher incidence of high blood pressure and diabetes, when they become Seventh-day Adventists, that risk goes away. Did you know that? When they adopt a Seventh-day Adventist lifestyle, that risk factor is eliminated. The common bond of this blue zone is not geography, but actually their religion and lifestyle. So let's take the best of all worlds. When you combine Okinawa, Sardinia, and the Seventh-day Adventists, we find that they generally have a plant-based diet. They generally don't smoke, generally don't drink, they're family-oriented, and they have daily activity, or they should have daily activity. Newsweek. Anyone ever heard of Newsweek? Sure. Newsweek. Newsweek put out How to Live Forever. Now, obviously, I don't think any of us will probably achieve that on this planet. What I find very intriguing with this flowchart, though, is that Newsweek has as the second parameter, you see this? This arrow was not part of the original article. I just have to confess that. But they have, you are a Seventh-day Adventist, as the second arrow. There's other concepts, of course. Maybe many of you didn't know about flossing. Your mom was young when she had you. I find this very intriguing. Do you see what this says? You started formal schooling after age 6. Who's heard of that before? Someone say that? That your kids shouldn't start till they were 8? Who said that? Well, that's another presentation. But did you know that doesn't even just affect the kid's mind? The kid lives longer because of that. We're not talking about brain development here. We're talking about raw data of longevity, right? Do you think the mind affects the body? Of course it does. That's been known for many decades. How about U.S. News and World Report? Anyone heard of that? Sure. They published the 11 health habits that will help you live to 100. But not just years to your life, but life in those years, right? Number one, very simple, those who retire expire. So don't retire, right? I'll give you a case in point. As a physician, I work with the geriatric population. I work with a lot of old people, but I work with a group of very sick older people, my patients. And I work with a group of very healthy older people, they're the volunteers pushing them in the gurney. Same age. But why are the volunteers healthier? Because they have more meaning, because they have ikigai, right? Because they're active. Right? Even though they quit their day job, they did not stop their ikigai. They did not stop their purpose in life. Number two, floss every day. How many people knew this? Did you know that floss increased your longevity? Now, how does that work? Well, the theory is that when your gums are inflamed, have you ever noticed when you haven't flossed for a while, what happens? You bleed, right? But that doesn't mean they started bleeding when you floss. They were inflamed before. Did you know that? And when they're inflamed, the bacteria in your mouth, which is like one of the dirtiest places on your body, right, can penetrate into your bloodstream and cause inflammation, that's right, in the coronary arteries of your heart. So that's the theory as to why flossing every day adds years to your life. And it is years. I mean, it's only 2 years, but it's something. And how long does it take you to floss? 30 seconds a day, right? So floss every day. Number three, there is probably no better return on your investment as exercise. When you look at the medical literature, you look at studies called meta-analyses, and a meta-analysis is a study that takes in hundreds of studies and kind of boils it down to the bottom line. When you look at meta-analyses on exercise, they're very similar as meta-analyses on smoking, but the opposite direction. Like a meta-analysis on smoking would be every cigarette you smoke, you lose 10 minutes off your life. It's that simple. But if exercise, when you exercise, you can plan on living that hour of exercise over again and 2 or 3 hours on top of it. Anyone here make 400% on their investments? If you do, talk to me afterwards because I want to get the lecture from you. But that is the return on exercise. Now, obviously, there is a law of diminishing returns. But even if you did an hour, right? Even if you did an hour of exercise every day, you would live that hour again and 2 or 3 hours on top of it. You would increase your lifespan by approximately 10% just by that hour of exercise. They find that people who eat breakfast, and particularly whole grains. Did anyone see the article that came out recently that said oatmeal for breakfast and dinner? Did anyone see that article that came out recently? They find that when you eat whole grains, especially in the morning, it controls your blood sugar level, not just for that meal, not just for the next meal, but for the entire day, and you live longer. So when you eat breakfast in the morning, and all of you should be eating breakfast, right? You know that's the most important meal. That's been known for many, many decades. But now they say, eat a fiber-rich grain for breakfast. Can be brown rice. For those of you who are Hispanic, right? You can have your brown rice and beans. It's okay. You don't have to eat oatmeal. But you need to eat a whole grain in the morning. Some cereals are. If you're buying it at a regular supermarket, probably not. What I always tell people is if it comes from a crinkly bag, it's probably not good for you, right? So, also, sleep, right? Not only getting enough sleep, but did you know that if you are not sleeping early enough, you are not getting growth hormone? Did you know that? All of your growth hormone is gone. By the time you hit 1, 2 a.m., you're done. Like, so if you're going to sleep after midnight, you're just not getting any growth hormone. And growth hormone is vital to not only building lean mass, but repairing your body, repairing the damage. So you have to go to sleep early. Minimum 10 o'clock. Hopefully earlier than that. But just think about it. Is that a surprise to you? Is that a surprise to you? When do you think mankind went to bed before technology? Yeah, unless you wanted to waste all your candles or your torches, right? You didn't stay up that late. Does that make sense? When do you think we got up? Yes. And do you think we got up to a sun that just was like dark and then went pfft? They've actually shown that your hormonal profiles are better is if you have gradual light and gradual darkness. How many of us actually get that? Isn't it like, okay, shut off the light, right? That's not normal. That is not what your body's pituitary gland, the hypothalamus that are producing those hormones, that is not what it likes. Does that make sense? It wants a gradual waking and a gradual sleeping. Like most things in our body, the body does not like rapid change. Have you ever noticed that? If you want to lose 10 pounds in a week, it's hard, isn't it? Unless you like dehydrate yourself, right? So don't do that. Try to sleep early and try to let it be gradual as much as possible. Sleep also in complete darkness if you can. That favors melatonin production. Number six, again, no surprise here, eat whole foods, right? You know, people are always making refined foods, right? They're trying to improve upon what the good Lord has already created. And I'm telling you right now, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Even though the supplement industry is a $1 billion industry, there was a Finnish study that showed smokers, again, all three groups were smokers. One group just smoked, the control group, right? They just smoked. And then they followed them to see if they would develop what? Lung cancer, right? Not rocket science. The other group ate antioxidant-rich foods. Antioxidants, what are those? A, C, E, selenium. ACEs, that's how you can remember it. Very simple, right? So they ate things like carrots, oranges, strawberries, whole grains, nuts. What's selenium? Where do you find selenium? Which nuts? You should know. Brazil nuts! Yes! Yes! All you have to do is eat two of them a day and you have a full day supply. I do not work for the Brazil Nut Growers Association of America, just so you know. But when you have those antioxidant-rich foods, but you're also smoking, do you think you get less lung cancer or more lung cancer than the control group? Less. Then they had a third group who took supplemental antioxidants in the same value as the food group. So extra vitamin A, extra vitamin C, extra vitamin E, extra selenium. And they found, compared to the control group, that group lived shorter. Is that scary? I think that's scary. They actually were so scared that they had to stop the study prematurely and tell the people, okay, don't smoke, eat these foods, and don't take these pills anymore. Right? Because in America, we have what's called an IRB, which is like the ethical part of medicine. And if your study finds a difference in death or some kind of serious disease, you have to unblind the study. Does that make sense? You can't just continue to allow people to die prematurely. You have to tell them what's going on. Now, I'm not saying that every study shows that. I'm just saying there are studies that show benefits to supplements, but there are many studies that show the detrimental effects of supplements. So that's why I'm saying eat whole foods. If you want supplementation, if you want to concentrate your nutrition, do you know what you can do? You can juice. Right? Because what are you losing with the juice? Just the fiber, right? Do you still need fiber? Yes, you do. But the balance of the nutrients is still there. Does that make sense? Number seven, it's not always what you're eating, but what's eating you. Right? Right here. We were just talking about this. Doesn't it seem like some people, they can eat whatever they want, they don't have any indigestion, they don't have any problems, and they live to be 100, right? Those people, it just seems like everything just rolls off their back, right? That's a good way to be. I know my grandfather was the same way. He had horrible, horrible gastric reflux, indigestion, peptic ulcers, all these problems. But did you know that when the grandkids were visiting, he had none of those problems? When he had the grandkids there with him, he didn't worry about us. Whereas when we were gone, he always worried about us. But when we were there, he could fry up a steak and hamburger and what it wouldn't affect him. Now, I'm not saying that those things are good for you, but I'm saying that the mind is very strong, isn't it? And I saw that in my grandfather. He could eat whatever he wanted when we were visiting. But then when we were gone, acid reflux, ulcers again, right? Number eight, I have to make a confession. The U.S. News and World Report article said, live like a Seventh-day Adventist. But you know what? I'm just going to invite you to be a Seventh-day Adventist. Okay. There's plenty of room. No problem. But we're going to talk about this a little bit later. The reason why U.S. News and World Reports mentions the Seventh-day Adventist is the average North American lives to 79. Average Seventh-day Adventist, 89. Think that's significant? It's not just significant. People spend millions of dollars a year from the NIH to try to figure out, what are they doing? And how can we benefit from that? That makes sense? Number 9. Ever notice when you visit your grandma, she says, okay, you guys are going to go have fun at the lake. Now be back by 5 for supper. And they say, grandma, we're probably going to be a little bit late. Be back by 5 for supper, right? She doesn't like you messing with the program. Have you noticed that? When you're older, they don't like to mess with their routine. Have you noticed that? There's a reason for that. The body thrives on regularity. The body thrives on pattern. Does that make sense? So don't mess with your grandma. If she wants to go to bed at 8:30, because she always goes to bed at 8:30, let her go to bed at 8:30. Because that is what's keeping her alive, they have found. If you eat at the same time, sleep at the same time, exercise at the same time, if you have a regular routine, not only is that easier for your scheduling, but you live longer. Number 10, stay connected. They have proven that those who maintain a close relationship with their sister live longer. Did you know that? Who here has sisters? Be good to your sister. She'll be good to you. And you'll live longer. Now, why that data didn't work out for brothers, I have no idea. Maybe we're not as talkative as women. I don't know. But I want you to know I chatted with my sister today. Today. They've also found that it works vertically as well. Did you know that the Berlin Aging Study just came out within the last year and showed that those who cared for their grandchildren, not as the primary caregiver, but those who just took care of their grandchildren, those elderly individuals lived longer. Did you know that? Also, the people who took care of their grandparents or had them living in their homes also lived longer, meaning the younger generation. Not only did the older generation benefit, but the younger generation benefit. And you know what they also found? Is they found that even if you weren't related to the person, you lived longer. So bring the neighbor kids over, Grandma, okay? Watch them for a little while. Take care of them. They may get on your nerves a little bit, but you know what? You can always send them back, right? That's the joy of being Grandma and Grandpa, right? You can always send them back. Number 11 was the longest prospective trial in the history of mankind. They followed these kids for 60, 70, 80 years. And the kids had the assessment not of diet, not of religion, not of exercise, but just of their personalities. Did you know that? They wanted to find out which personality trait predicted longevity. And the trait they found was the children that were conscientious lived the longest. Now, the book on this study tried to say that they were conscientious to keep their doctor's appointments. Now, honestly, I don't really give myself that much credit. But conscientiousness is almost a moral trait. Did you know that? It means you say what you mean and you mean what you say. It means you follow through, right? It means you keep to your commitments. It means you don't try to shortcut things, right? Yeah, exactly. So be conscientious. Not only will you live longer, but the study showed better marital satisfaction, more income, less jail time. It showed all kinds of stuff. Being conscientious is not just good for your longevity, but it's good for your quality of life. So now we're going to watch a video. You guys ready? All right. You don't have to take my word for it, but this is kind of the conglomerate of three major publications. These are not religious publications, by the way. This is the lead photographer for the article on longevity for National Geographic. This is just his personal observations of the assignment. Take it away. Turn up the volume.
Every star that shines is there. My name is David McLean, and I traveled to three different cultures of longevity, which are Okinawa, Japan, Sardinia, Italy, and Loma Linda, California. So we went and spent time in each of these places and tried to learn about their cultures of longevity and exactly what it is they're doing to live vital and healthy lives well into their hundreds. The first longevity hotspot we traveled to was Sardinia, Italy. So in this region, men are living as long as women, which is just an incredible phenomenon. Science isn't exactly quite sure why, but one of the theories is that it's because the women wear the pants and that men have less stress as a result. But also the Sardinians have a fanatical zeal for the family. And we dropped by one four generations of one family, and every weekend they shared this giant meal. And this social component of longevity is incredible. Incredibly important. And at the time, I remember thinking, this is what being alive and having a family is all about. But the cultures of longevity in Sardinia are rapidly disappearing. And the root of them are a move away from traditional natural food in conjunction with a sedentary lifestyle. We spent time with a woman who was almost 100 and her great-granddaughter. And later that day, we saw that same great-granddaughter eating potato chips. And we wondered, will she live as long as her great-grandmother?
The answer is no.
Okinawa is an archipelago in the far south of Japan and home to the longest lived people on Earth. And we met numerous people who were into their hundreds, who were leading active and very healthy lifestyles. You know, the 90-year-olds were biking and fishing 8 miles offshore with these old diving techniques on the reef. And we met an amazing woman who was over 100. Her name was Kamada, and she had been in a moi. The rough translation is that it's a group of friends who go through life together and help each other. And the energy and vitality that they would get from that, I believe, factored into the longevity equation as well. And the Okinawans have this wonderful word. It's called ikigai, and it translates roughly into the reason for which you wake up in the morning. And all of these centenarians had ikigai, and I don't think it's an accident that that's part of the reason that they're living so long. So one of the cornerstones of Okinawan longevity is caloric restriction. Yet, interestingly, they're eating a lot of food. The trick is that the food that they're eating is all low in caloric density. And that food included these beautiful miso soups that were filled with carrots, seaweed, onions, and potatoes. And like the Sardinians, the Okinawans grew most of the food themselves in their gardens, and they would go to the store for very little. But Okinawa is losing its longevity edge. Okinawa has the highest rate of obesity in all of Japan. And it was quite shocking and somewhat disturbing to see this culture of longevity disappearing right before our eyes.
Listen to this. Most important.
By far the most surprising fact that I took away from this story is that Seventh-day Adventists outlive their American counterparts by about 10 years. What are they doing? Quite simply, the Seventh-day Adventists, who largely populate Loma Linda, California, have a religion that reinforces positive, healthy behaviors. For example, if you're a devout Seventh-day Adventist, you are a vegetarian, non-smoker, non-drinker, who takes a Sabbath every Saturday, where for one whole day you have to just unplug. So we met many incredible people there. The most incredible by far was a woman named Marge Jatan, who had just turned 100 and renewed her driver's license. So we went for a cruise, but before we did that, we had to go through her morning routine where she lifts weights and rides a stationary bike. And interestingly, the Seventh-day Adventists are the only culture of longevity that we visited who are not losing their longevity edge. And I photographed a baptism at this church. And I remember thinking, wow, this is the perfect example of how this religion is still growing and carrying forward. I think in America, we tend to marginalize old people, kind of put them away in retirement homes. But these amazing people in three different cultures represent the potential to see your great-grandchildren grow up, a potential to be healthy and happy well into your older years. And that, to me, was the biggest thing I walked away with from this assignment, was that, wow, you know, I now have this sense of responsibility and control based on choices that I make. I'd read that genetics only account for about 30% of how long you live. So, you know, the majority of how long you live is up to your lifestyle. It's up to you.
So who noticed what the only blue zone was that was not losing its edge? Oh, interesting. So I'm going to examine that for a moment, because a lot of people think, well, you know, it's because the Adventists are vegetarian. Have you heard that? First of all, in the spirit of full disclosure, I want you to know that in the latest Adventist health study, only 39% of the North American Seventh-day Adventists are vegetarian. Did you know that? In your country, probably worse. I mean, in other countries, probably worse. Also, in the spirit of full disclosure, the longevity edge went to the pescatarian Adventists this time. Did you know that? But that's, I think, a fluke. That's like the only time that's ever happened. So when I say pescatarian, most of you know what I mean, meaning they ate fish as well as eggs and dairy products, right? But here's an interesting thought. Yes, could the vegetarian diet factor into it? Sure, yes. But I don't think that's it. You know why? Did you know there's a lot bigger group of people that are vegetarian? Buddhists, did you know that? Hindus? Way bigger than 20 million, did you know that? But they don't live longer. Well, you know, maybe it's exercise. Well, first of all, the weakest parameter of the Adventist health study is exercise. Did you know that? Only 10% of Seventh-day Adventists exercise every day, though we should. For those of us who are Seventh-day Adventists, though we should, we do not. What about genetics? That can't be the case, because the Seventh-day Adventist Church is a multi-ethnic church, right? Very genetically diverse. I think you can just look around you, right? I mean, there's a bunch of different races represented here. However, people will say, well, you know, it's because you don't smoke or drink or use caffeine. What do you think about that? Could that be a factor? But it is not the factor. Do you know why? What other religious group doesn't smoke or drink or drink caffeine? The Mormons. But they don't live longer. They are not on Anderson Cooper. They are not on Oprah Winfrey. The data's not there. However, in the spirit of full disclosure, there is a benefit for the Mormon lifestyle. And the PI, or principal investigator for it, is Bigelow out of UCLA. And what he has found, that there are some benefits to being Mormon, especially if you're white, male, and high priest. You live 15 years longer. But you know, not all of us are white and male, and I don't even know what the whole high priest thing is. So, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to get that. You know what I mean? So, consider, maybe it's just optimism. Maybe it's just positive thinking, right? I think that that's a big part of it, but I don't think that's enough. What you don't know can not only hurt you, but can kill you, right? Well, what about faith, right? Could it be faith? Well, there are many people of faith, are there not? Are there many religions? Well, sure they are. But they don't live longer. Right? Or they don't live 10 years longer. So there's got to be something else going on. So my challenge to you is to think beyond the physical parameters. Think beyond vegetarianism. Think beyond smoking cessation and not drinking. Think beyond that. Think, how about Jewish people?
It's because we're family.
Right? Jewish people? Well, lots of people. The Mormons are very family-oriented too. So the Amish are probably more family-oriented than we are. So there's a lot of things. And again, talking about the Amish, just because we brought up the Amish just now. Did you know that the Amish have much less cancer than the average North American? I mean, a lot less cancer.
The Amish I know
Well, maybe I'm talking about the Mennonites then, or maybe you're talking about the Mennonites. But the Amish have a lot less cancer because they are not supposed to smoke. They are not supposed to smoke, at least outside of Rumspringa. Yeah, they grow their own stuff. Well, I think that there's a lot of reasons. They don't smoke, they don't drink. They're supposed to be monogamous, right? However, I think one of their biggest benefits, you ever notice them in the horse and buggy sort of thing going on? That's because they're not supposed to use technology. But you know what's funny? Is their cell phones are all plugged in outside. They can't have the technology in their house, which is kind of weird. I don't know what that means. But anyway, the average Amish woman, 14,000 steps a day. Average Amish man, almost 20,000 steps a day. And we're patting ourselves on the back when we get 10,000, right? These guys have massive detox with their exercise regimen because they simply can't use the conveniences that we do. There you go. That's right. They're not using a lot of artificial lighting. However, even though Amish have less lung cancer, less colon cancer, less cervical cancer, less cancer overall, what is their average lifespan? Anyone want to take a stab at it? No, 79. It is the same. Right? So if they have less cancer, then they have to have what? More of something else. Does that make sense? Obviously, if you have less cancer, cancer being the number two killer, right? What's number one? Anyone know? Heart disease, right? The Amish have way more heart disease. Why? Because even grain-fed, grass-fed, cage-free, organic pig and beef and chicken is still meat. Anyone ever eaten Amish food? Really rich. Really rich, right? Now, I'm not saying anything negative about the Amish. I'm just telling you that though they have benefits from cancer, they do not live any longer. Although one would assume with all that exercise, they get something out of it. And they do, right? They do. But they die like the rest of us at 79. And they are a people of faith, right? Wouldn't you agree? I think they are. So it cannot be just this as a parameter. So what is the secret handshake? What is the key of the Adventist advantage? Well, I would invite you to come tomorrow and see perhaps for yourself what a service is like. We're not going to sacrifice a goat. Don't worry, we're not going to do anything weird like that, okay? It's just a Protestant denomination. But there's something unique about this Protestant denomination because they live 10 years longer. And I would propose that if you look at the difference in the longevity, you need to look at the difference in this people group compared to others. Not the things that are same, right? There's lots of people that are vegetarian. There's people who keep the Sabbath. There's people who don't smoke or drink or use a caffeine, right? You need to look at the different things. Does that make sense? Not the things that are the same. Or perhaps it is synergy, all those things put together. I believe that we were designed for the best quantity and quality of life. And it's as you discern your design that you can start to act intelligently and enjoy that benefit. Because I don't believe that it's all superficial. I don't believe that people seek to be younger just because they're vain. I believe that we were designed to live longer, to live forever, and to live forever young. The Bible itself says that God wants us to prosper in all things and be in what? Health, just as your soul prospers. And if you're wondering, why do we have that desire for longevity? It's right here. God has put eternity in our hearts. a desire to seek for something more than this life can give. Unfortunately, most of us seek it in the wrong places, right? Plastic surgery will not extend your lifespan, right? It will make you look better, but you will die like the rest. Dyeing your hair will not prevent more gray hairs from popping up. Smoothing away the wrinkles will not change reality. However, if you do some of the things we've outlined in this presentation, you will live longer. And hopefully, in your study, you will find the key not only to a longer life here, but to eternal life there. Thank you very much.
Brian, you're thinking. We're all thinking, right? What should we do now? Okay, so the first thing is to come tomorrow at 11 a.m. That's all you have to do for now. And let the Lord lead your life. Let's all stand up and close with a word of prayer. Oh, yes. We're going to remember our brother Mark, who is in the hospital. More information will be given tomorrow to each one of us. But remember Mark Sumner in your prayers. Father God, we thank you so much because you have put in our hearts the desire to live longer, to live forever. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us means in order to live not only longer, but to live well, to live healthy. So help us to be wise and make the right decision. Bless us we go out this your house today, that we be prepared to be here at 11 tomorrow, and keep us safe and healthy until then. We pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Have a good night, and God bless you.